This morning's lesson is coming from the book of Acts, the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, the 23rd through the 28th verse. The title of our message is Apollos, Eloquent and Mighty in the Scriptures. It's about Apollos, the 18th chapter. I'll give y'all the notes on it or whatever. The 18th chapter, the 23rd through the 28th verse. Apollos was a man from Alexandria. Alexandria, Egypt, was the home of one of the largest libraries in the world until Rome burned it. It was an education center in the world, and it's there in which he grew up. He was a Jew, an Alexandrian Jew. And the population probably in Alexandria of the Jews at that time was probably upward of a million or more Jews in that area. It was founded by Alexander. The city of Alexander was founded by Alexandria. Alexander the Great. I have some further reading in your back of your book about the city of Alexander. Apollos, by being from that area, and it was the breadbasket at that time of Egypt. And it had an influence on him because he probably studied at that library a good bit, a good deal. He studied at that Alexandrian library, which was one of the larger of the libraries in the world, as I said. His most important accomplishment there in Alexandria also was that's where the Bible was translated into Greek. You've seen sometime, if you've seen Bible translations that says LXX in Roman numbers, that stands for the Septuagint, in which the 70 Jewish Alexandrians translated the Hebrew Bible into Greek. And when they did that, Josephus, the historian, said that there probably was over 500,000 copies of volumes of that Septuagint in the Alexandrian library, in that he was mighty and eloquent in the scriptures, that he was good at memorizing and expounding the word of God. If we read up on him, we'll see that he was a very prominent, very great person in the book of Acts, the book of Corinthians, the book of Titus mentions him. But sometime we don't hear of all these people have done or whatever. I think it was, and a lot of scholars, you have different scholars think that it was Apollos who wrote the book of Hebrews. And the way they got the book of Hebrew into the canon of Scripture was that they, that they say it was a Pauline writing, that Paul had wrote it. But I do believe that it was Apollos who had wrote the book of Hebrews. Not that the authors of these books, because we know God's the author of all of them. But if you look at Hebrews, the second chapter of Hebrews in the third verse, in that it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" You hear what that verse says? Let me read it in another version. It says, "So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, this gospel, this preaching, then delivered to us by those who heard him speak?" Couldn't have been Paul wrote that, I don't think, because of that very verse there. Because did Paul hear that from somebody else? He heard it directly from Jesus. Jesus appeared to Paul. And that was one of the criteria for being an apostle. So we see that Apollos was an apostle. He was a chief speaker. probably wouldn't have wrote this. It says, then it, he says, when Jesus preached the gospel, and listen at the last part of it, it was confirmed unto us who heard them speak. See, Paul didn't get this gospel from anybody else. He got it directly from Jesus. Everybody else, that's why Jesus says, bless them in that they be blessed through their word, who hear their word. Whose word? The apostles' word. But Paul spoke directly, and he was taught by the Lord. He didn't get this gospel from man. None of the other apostles gave this to Paul. Paul and Apollos had something in common. Way above Peter is that Apollos was refined. He was an eloquent speaker. In that Apollos studied the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament. He knew it like the back of his hand. That's why I say, yeah, we need to study the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. Listen what it says. Now, keep in mind our opening scripture, our reading scripture, Matthew 9 and 38, that says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We need laborers in every facet of the gospel. That's why he gifted me, and he gave some preachers, some teachers, some deacons, some teachers, some helps, some exhortation. He gave some people just, it may be your job just to pray in the church. Like Annas, the lady in the temple, she stayed in the temple. And one of the requirements of staying in the temple that you had to stay in prayer. It was a house of prayer. So if you can't do anything else, if you're physically incapable of doing something else, you could pray. You could be praying for the pastor. You could be praying for the people. The sister brought up this morning that I should be telling them about different people. You know, you should all of y'all should have each other's number, and it should be told. If you're going to go to the doctor, the hospital, you should know the prayers in the church and ask them. It says call for the elders of the church, but it also have those that are prayerfully powerful in the church. That's given to being at home all day and doing nothing but able to pray. So you might not be able to do anything physically. You might not be able to contribute monetarily. But you can do something. We need laborers in the church. We have too many pew sitters in the church. Too many people just come in here, sit down and hear me preach or teach, walk out and don't do anything. You don't tell anybody about the Lord. That's what would be your life, should be your life, telling somebody else or witnessing about Jesus. That helps you, in which then God regenerates you, because remember I told you, faith coming by hearing. So with that faith, before you regenerate, look at Apostle now. Look at Apollos now. Do you think he was regenerated before he was doing all this? Listen at this. The Acts, starting at the 23rd verse of the 18th chapter. Paul was on his third missionary journey. It says, after spending some time there, he left and traveled through the territory of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening and encouraging all the disciples. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent and cultured man and well-versed in the Hebrew scriptures. This man had been instructed in the ways of the Lord. And being spiritually impassioned, he was speaking and teaching accurately. That's very important now. Diligently or fervently, he was preaching accurately the things about Jesus. Now listen, though he knew only the baptism of John, that's key also, because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance or a baptism of works. John was pretty rough with the people. John came after you pretty hard. They distinguish a little bit between John and Jesus' gospel, or their preaching, their ways, or whatever. Each preacher, they have different ways or a different thing. That's why you have 66 different authors of that Bible, those different books, because each person's character, each person's nature, God used that. He used it. Individuality of the individual. That's why I say, who whoever you are, whatever you are, God created you that way for a purpose and a reason. And it's significant that you know that and that you should be contributing. You should be contributing to the Lord. You're important. And don't try to get wasted in the crowd and think God doesn't feel what you're doing. Every part of the body is significant. Every part of the body is significant. It says, and he began to speak boldly and fearlessly in the synagogue. Notice that. A lot of us are scared to talk to the doctors, to talk to the lawyers, to talk to prominent people, to talk to people on our job, to talk about your faith. You have a spirit of fear in not telling who you are and what you are, what you believe in. That's a weakness. That means you shame of who you are or what you are. It's like children growing up that their parents are not anybody popular or some beautiful or handsome person or rich person that they can brag on. And some people shame of their parents. Some people shame of their children. They shame of their relative. They shame of where they live at or what they do. You got a problem there. That's why we need to be in the Lord then, because we be content what we have and we boldly proclaim these things that God had given us. We're happy with what we have and who we are. It says, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, notice now, a lot of people get upset because they mention Priscilla's name a couple of times first here. See, sometimes the woman may be a greater teacher. I understand I have a better intuitive power. But if you look at these scriptures closely, you never see that where she was a teacher of churches held that position. So the feminists or the liberals were trying to say, see, that's all woman can teach. Paul doesn't contradict the scriptures. He say, I suffer a woman not to teach. Let's walk through these scriptures here, though. He says, they took him aside and explained more accurately to him the way of God and the full story of the life of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm glad they took him to the side instead of in the church somewhere, instead of in front of a lot of people. You know, that's the way the Pentecostal, a lot of people do it, a lot of people in different churches. Oh, no, you're wrong about that scripture, and they get in a big old argument. Instead of taking somebody to the side and teach them, notice this, that's why I put Priscilla in the lead there, I guess, because she didn't do that. That's just like Paul said, if the women want to learn, let them ask their husbands at home or whatever. A lot of people, you know, I was thinking about Charles Stanley and Alex DeBeg and a lot of these other ministers. And, you know, I've never heard from their wives or whatever. And that's the problem. If you notice a lot of these ministers today, their wives are co-pastors and some of the biggest loudmouths there are in the church. That church is out of order. I've never heard Charles Stanley's wife preach or teach or even seen her visibly. Alex DeBeg, some of the larger members in the church, Billy Graham, any of them. Because that wouldn't have been a conduct of Sarah. I don't think many of y'all hear my wife all over the church saying this and doing this and leading the whole line. We have to find out our place, and that's what I was texting and talking to my daughter about last night. And she texted me back. She said, you know, Dad, I appreciate you and Mama that y'all taught me this, because I say you got a characteristic of your mother there. It's because a lot of times I'll be telling you something or whatever, and you say, well, tell Quincy or Quincy there, because she deferred to her husband. And I'm sure Priscilla was the same way as Sarah did Abraham. And see, that's one thing my daughter realized, that she had never seen her mother take the lead or do those things. Even though she's very industrious, she has two or three businesses going. As I tell you, a lot of time I work for her on some weekends. But see, I told her, I said, now you do remind me of Ruth. You're another Ruth to me, because she helps me more than you can understand. I say you're like a Proverbs 31 woman. That she work at home and she brings food home. She's living good. But it's under the realm of God. So let's keep these things in context. It says, when Apollos wanted to go across Acacia, southern Greece, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples, urging them to welcome him gladly. When he arrived, he was of great help to those who, listen, he went there and worked. He didn't go there and brag and not do anything. He went there and he was a great help. How many of y'all are great help to the church? How many of you are great help to the body of Christ? That God has something for you to be doing and you doing that something. Or are you worried about the world or tied up in the world, in the things of the world? You're more busier for the world than you are for God. He's not increasing in your life. Actually, he's decreasing. You left your first love, a lot of us. But the church needs more laborers, people that are willing to work. There's more work in the church that needs to be done. But, you know, you could have hundreds of people in there, but only a few doing the work, only a few carrying the load. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who through grace had believed and had followed Jesus as Lord and Savior. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public discussions, proven by the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. In other words, the religious people. See, that's what's the problem. It's too many people in the church that are getting tied up with other things. I was talking Wednesday night. Deacon asked me, had I heard about in some part, some city, or some place where the people are scrutinizing what the preachers are preaching, trying to pre-read their sermons and everything. And I told them, I've heard of it, but it sounds like some of those things the church is bringing out, and especially here in the United States, to act as though they're so persecuted or something. It doesn't touch reality, and that spreads vicious rumors and hearsay. And that's one thing I was talking about a minister the other day. He's so tied up and worried about the world that he was a minister for all these years, but now he don't belong to any church. He's not doing anything, but let him tell it, he's Apostle Paul. We can get so tied up and entangled with the world that we're not laboring in the church. We worry about what the world doing, what the world's saying. Apollos wasn't. Apollos went around getting religion straight, getting things straight. So we see it's not of works. If it was of works, we see where Apollos had the intellect. He had the knowledge. But as I said, that's our first point, that it's not of works. And John told the people, bring forth meat, fruits, meat for repentance. In other words, show your works. Show something, have fruit. Meet for repentance and show a repentant life. And see, in other words, he was sent to prepare the way for Christ, or for the Lord. Now, Apollos was teaching that what he knew because all they had was the Old Testament at that time. Apollos was preaching the Lord. He was convincing people about it. How many of you can take the Old Testament and show people that Jesus Christ is the Lord? That he's the Messiah. Now, none of us do it as well as Christ himself did, because on the road to Emmaus, when he started to say, oh, foolish of heart, you're slow to believe what was wrote in Moses and the prophets. So on the road to Emmaus, he explained to them, he started and expounded them the scriptures, and they seen who Jesus was. So we need to study the Bible, old and new, to be able to be familiar with the scriptures. Are they which testify of Jesus Christ. He's in every scripture. From Genesis to Revelation. They testify of Christ. Do you know your Bible that well? Or do you know that you watch more television than you? A lot of people didn't stop reading and studying their Bible and then went to television. They'll lay it aside and they got television preachers and teachers and things. You're not getting the full learning, because you're not with one specific teacher or preacher. That's why it says, be not many masters, many teachers or whatever. You get somewhere and a minister and get rooted and grounded, and you will have expository preaching where he's going scripture by scripture, chapter by chapter, Genesis to Revelation, and you know the whole counsel, the whole word of God. Paul was on his way, if you read chapter 19 of Acts, Sister Jackson, let me get this right here. It says, Paul realized that these disciples was dependent on works, not the completed works of Jesus Christ. He was going through Ephesus, Acts the 19th chapter, the 1st through the 7th verse. I'll read it from you. It says, it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper districts and came down to Ephesus and found certain disciples. He asked them, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed in Jesus Christ? And they said, no. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he asked, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John performed the baptism of repentance, continually telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is, to confidently accept and joyfully believe in Jesus the Messiah. After hearing this, they were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's nothing for the Pentecostals to go over and try to bull that they were baptized in the name of the Lord. We're not arguing against the Trinitarian formula of in the name of the Son, in the name of the Father, and the Holy Ghost. We're not arguing in a formula. In other words, it was with the authority of Jesus Christ who had sent them out with a great commission to preach, teach, and baptize and make disciples in his name. That's what we're looking at. So baptism is not what we're focusing on here. It's that they hadn't heard about the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about from Zephaniah is regeneration. That's what Apollos was like. That's why they had to call him to the side and explain more perfectly to him. And Paul, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in unknown tongues and prophesy. There were about 12 men in all. So we see it wasn't a complete gospel because they hadn't been taught of the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection, because Jesus had never come. And I told you, after death, that must be a death. There must be a death, and that Jesus had finished the work on the cross. He said, it is finished. All we have to do is walk therein. In other words, the gospel should contain grace and truth. Now, here where a lot of churches are prospering or getting large or whatever, they preach the gospel of grace and truth, but they cast out the bathwater with the baby in there of repentance. They're not preaching repentance to the people. The people are coming into the church. Apollos wouldn't let them off with that. Now, Apollos still expounded the gospel. It's just that it added a complete work to it. We shouldn't be like some of the larger churches today and not preach repentance to the people in a faith that does have works. We shouldn't do that. But we should preach in a way that, as I was telling you earlier, that we're not entangled in the world. And this guy was getting ready to get into a political argument with me. He was arguing about homosexuals and who all married and everything. I said, well, you're getting entangled in the world because you're not talking to the church. When we're preaching to the church, we're preaching to a people that want to serve God. If you, in a perverted way, if you have homosexuality or anything that's disobedient to God, you're not trying to find out what God's talking about. You're trying to condemn others. We're not here to condemn and cause confusion. We know that if you have anything contrary to God, that's why in Hebrews, in that 6th chapter, when the writer says, not preaching about doctrines of baptism, a laying on of hands, let us go on to perfection of the saints. This we will do if the Lord's will. In other words, when you come into God, when God gives birth to you, when you're regenerated, he's going to wash you by the word and you're going to be obedient to the word of God. See, the reason a lot of people in the condition they're in today, they hadn't heard let's see, how can I say this now? Let me take it slow. Let me be like Apollo. In other words, they hadn't been obedient to the light that they did have. See, Apollos only had part light, but he was obedient to that part light, and God gave him more light. So the things that you know you should be doing, are you doing those things? Mm. Are you walking in those things? That's why it's no church growth. You have a knowledge of what should be done. You have a zeal, but it's not that you're working or doing anything for God with that zeal. You know about God, but you're not obedient to the word. You're not a doer of the word. So your life doesn't grow from there. But these people, once the significance of this is, they accepted the complete teaching about the Holy Spirit. Now, as I said, this wasn't about baptism, because we see it even in the book of Acts, about the 7th and the 8th chapter, where Simon the sorcerer, seeing these people with the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon them after they were baptized, and he was baptized, but the Holy Ghost didn't fall upon him. And Peter told him, said, you're not right, your heart's not right, and your money perished with you. The reason a lot of us hadn't received the Spirit is that our hearts are not right. We hadn't been converted. We hadn't purged ourselves. See, you hadn't been obedient to God in that little, so he wasn't going to give you any more. See, these people were desperately, these 12 disciples here and Apollos, they were doing what they knew of God. Without the Spirit, without the Holy Ghost, without this regeneration. That's why I say they were laboring like Cornelius. They say Cornelius was a man given to prayer and following God, and was a great giver of alms. So as he was doing that physically, which was physically possible, he hadn't been born again. What God did, God sent Peter to Cornelius. He had given Peter this vision where he went into this Gentile and preached unto him the gospel, and his whole house was saved. So even though you may not have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, if you turn from what you're doing as much as you physically can, in love, just desire heart God, desire God, walk in his word, pray, and study the word, Peter says, repent and be baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say you may, he said you shall receive. Now, I can't give you the Holy Ghost. The examples of the apostles, they can't be repeated now. The apostles was laying hands on people to receive it because they had a greater power. Those 12 men, those apostles was chosen for a mission. And I told you, each one of us is individuals that were appointed from God for a purpose. So they had their specific purpose. There are no more apostles. No matter how many people say they're apostles, those 12 apostles was the 12, and that's it. Now, they may occupy the office of apostles, but they're not apostles. You understand that? Okay. So, when they did this, the sub-point under that works, it says, this was the case when Aquila and Priscilla heard Apollos preaching. Something's wrong here. Something's lacking. I was talking to a young man the other day. But anyhow, I was working and he stopped and he was talking to me. In all the scriptures, it was hard for me to get a word in edgewise with it. He knew the scriptures in vain, but something was wrong. I know a lot of people in churches and things, and I see a lot of preachers preaching it on television, him on the radio, him online, and I hear a lot of people that are religious people, but something is wrong. Something is lacking. Something is lacking, and it's a lot of people in church.
They like the ones that came to Jesus and said, didn't we feed the needy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we preach the gospel in your name? But something was wrong. All this they knew and heard and understand, but they were like Nicodemus. Jesus said, now Nicodemus, you must needs be born again. So you have to be regenerated. You have to be made anew. You have to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you can preach and teach the gospel. Apollos was eloquent at it. In other words, he was a great orator. He can preach and teach great. But Priscilla and Aquila say something wrong. He don't have the complete package. Something is lacking. You remember Paul seeing this man that had faith to be healed? What people don't realize is that if you're in the Spirit, and that's why Jesus would do that, that's why we need to labor to enter into the kingdom of God, is because God's going to give you a discerning of Spirit, a perception of Spirit. And as I was talking to this preacher yesterday that I told you, I said, well, look, well, let's not talk about that or argue about that, because something is wrong. He's lacking something, even though he's been in the church 30 to 40 years. Maybe 50 years. He's 80 years old or 70 years old. But something is lacking with him. He don't have the Spirit. Now, he preached. He's been a lot of places. But something is wrong. He hadn't been born again. Even though he preached on being born again, because as we were preaching Wednesday night, a lot of people conflate being born again or being converted with being regenerated. And they're not the same, even though they're similar. You need to listen to that lesson from the other night. And then this Wednesday night, like I say, we need to be in there about three teachings or so, because they're not the same. They're close, but they're not the same. Apollos became one of the team. And that's what I say. You have to be a team player. He became one of the teams. If you would read the book of Titus, when Paul is asking about those on the team that was sent throughout, he wrote this book of Titus when he was in Rome in jail. And he says in the 13th verse of the third chapter of Titus, he said, do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer. So nothing's wrong with being a lawyer. This was a lawyer that was in the church. And apparently he was ministering and doing things for the church, as a lot of the women were that Paul acknowledged in the book of Romans. He says, do everything you can to help the Lord, Zenas the lawyer, and Apollos with their trip. So as a team, that's why I say we can labor together. There's no such thing as divisiveness if you want in Christ Jesus. You want all the help you can get, but you don't want just any help. You want good help. You want people that actually believe. You don't want talebearers and gossipers and people that's changing things through rumor and that's lessening the power of the gospel with you. Now, you also have to be your own person. Remember, I told you to be an individual. You also have to be your own man. Now, what happened was here, you have to analyze and avoid conflicts and confusion, and you should know those people that commit idolatry, because there are a great number of idolaters in the church. I hear people now, oh, this is my preaching. I can't go against this preaching, this and that. They got preacher problems. I was somewhere the other day, and I seen one of the preachers. He has a talk show in the morning time. And I've seen different preachers and everything, and people were hung up on preachers, and they're dying and going to hell with these preachers in these churches in this out of time. See, because what they didn't brought in to their hearts is a idol. And if you notice, any time any of the people treated any of the apostles that are offered to them, they would tear their clothes and say, don't do this, I'm a man, don't worship me, don't look up to me. See, we want to do, now I'm not talking about someone that's hypocritical. Our constitution of the spot is hypocritical. The ones that wrote it that says we believe all men are created equally,
yet still you enslave other men. You understand that? That's being a hypocrite. That's saying one thing and doing another. But see, the apostle said we all equal. There are no Jew nor Gentile. So there shouldn't be racial barriers in the body of Christ. Even though the world has secular racial barriers, and it says nation shall rise up against nation, and these different racial conflicts that's going on, the church shouldn't be tied up in it. Shouldn't be anybody of that persuasion, of that ideology in the church. We should get away from people like that. You understand that? You should be bold and take that bold stance. Apollos was one that took that stance. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 12th verse. Paul says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Was not a glory. In other words, Apollos didn't go because he had asked Paul to go to Corinth, the Corinthians, the preach as part of the team or whatever. Apollos said, no, I got something else to do. I'm going somewhere else. Because you notice that church passed out of existence. That the Corinthian church was a church that didn't complete because Apollos understood that it had idolatry, and that's the one Paul wrote 2 Corinthians as a rebuke to these people, that there were people sleeping with their mother-in-laws in there. There were people that was doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't have been doing in there. It was a carnal church, and Apollos didn't want to be a part of that division. That's why I told you, the church that broke away from this church, the churches that have divided this church, I have no fellowship or no part with those churches, with those ministers or those people. Because the Bible tells us, mark those that cause divisions. Paul had his hands full in the book of in that church of Corinthians. When you were once a Corinthian, and that was taking some of the worst people that wasn't generated, but they had the gifts. They had spiritual gifts, but they wasn't regenerated. Listen to what was going on. You remember when Paul wrote the Corinthian letter? Like I said, that's why Apollos didn't go back there at that time, because of those divisions. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 12th verse. Let's start at the 11th verse. It says, for some members of closed household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers. Some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I'm a follower of Apollos. Others, I'm a follower of Peter. Others, I'm a follower of Christ. For when one says, I am a disciple of Paul, and another of Peter, you are proving, well, this is another one. This is ties in with that same one. This is 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. And you got in Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 4th through the 9th verse, that Paul was addressing these divisions. So through his perception, probably is why Apollos chose not to go there. See, we have some independence. Paul didn't have authority to order Apollos. As an apostle, he could have said, well, look, we did this, but the Spirit follows peace with all men. And Apollos seen that this division or this rift wasn't getting any better. And that's why a lot of people in the church, as I see my preaching is not doing any good, I move on. Because I'm wasting my time, everybody else's time, on this. Like I say, sometimes Sister Hassel said, well, pastors, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Because she comes to me, she said, because it seemed like I'm preaching on the same thing.
Well, I'm not talking to you, but somebody is not getting what the Spirit is saying. So I've been hammering this same message home through 2, 3, 4 months. But it's time to move on, because you will perish in your sins, because I've been preaching on this. And you notice how I preach on certain things hard sometimes? But some people are not going to listen. But we, in the church, we can't chastise them. God has to chase them. So that's why I say a lot of times sickness or difficulties and things come up on you is because of your disobedience, the reason you're not growing in God. Paul says, for when one of you says, I am a disciple of Paul, and another, I'm a disciple of Apollos, are you not proving yourselves unchanged and just ordinary people, that you're yet carnal, you hadn't been regenerated? Fifth verse, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Just servants to whom you believe in Christ, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was causing the growth. So neither is the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but only God who causes the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one in importance and esteem, working toward the same purpose. But each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Are you doing what God sent you to do? Priscilla and Aquila were doing what God had called them to do. Like I said, you never read of them preaching to a congregation or teaching. Their work was one-on-one with people. Are you, some people don't realize you're not sent to be a preacher. And other people see this in you. That's why right now, like I said, if anybody come in the church to be a preacher, people, the congregation would have to vote and decide, is that person a preacher? The congregation would have to vote and decide whether that person is worthy to be an elder. The congregation, as I said, I took my children out of the church. They were trying to make one of my sons a deacon or whatever. But I was like Sister Harris here. No, 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 he can't be a deacon, because he's not preparing himself to be a deacon. He's not doing that, because a deacon, if you look in the book of Titus, if you look in these books, there are certain qualifications some people can do and can't do. If you can't do it, say, well, look, I'm not called to do that. I'm not able to do that. And find your place in Christ. It said, make sure of your calling. Yeah. I tell you all the time, I say, well, and this guy, you asked me about him the other day. There's a brother that came here. Remember the brother I told you that helped me to tear down the church over there? I've been after him for 6 or 7 years, but I'm not going to waste time on it. But he has eldership or deaconship in him. He would, every time he come, he'd walk around, he'd see what's going on in the building. This needs to be done. He would make a wonderful deacon. But he's lost. He's out there in the world. He's doing these things. But I can't force him into the church and tell him. But I've told him what the Word of God says. I've preached to him. I've talked to him. But he has to make that. I can't. Your parents can't make you a Christian. You can only tell your children. You can only tell people. They have to have it in them. I can't get well for someone. You have to have the faith in yourself. You have to have the zeal. People have to see this, because you have to give account. You have to give account. What are you doing? Let me see. This is not done. That's not done. Somebody has to do the work. We need more laborers in the church. He says, Paul had to correct them on their behavior. Now I have applied these things, that is the analogies about factions, to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us not to go beyond what is written in Scripture, so that none of you would become arrogant and boast in favor of one minister against another. And this is the day and time we have favorite preachers and teachers. We have popular ministers and things, and people just follow them because of their name over there. It's not because their lives is changing. Nothing's changing. So the second point, we weigh in here for a point, ain't it? I'm not going to stay on these points as long as I stayed on that. Eloquence. Unlike Paul, Apollos was a great orator. In other words, he came from Alexandria. He probably was much neater than Paul. just like me. A lot of times I say, well, man, if I weighed this much and I had a better physique that looked like this and had a big round voice as some of these people have or whatever. But see, God had given each man what he wanted him to have. Each one of us got what God wanted us with. So we don't have anything to boast of. And they saw this and they felt this, and now a lot of orators now, and that's just it. They're just talk. But this man had something, and he had potential to be better. Listen at this. Acts 18, chapter and the 24th verse, it says, now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, he was an elegant and cultured man, well-versed in the Hebrew scriptures. That's good if your pastor well-versed. He's good if he studied up in the news and culture of the day. That's why I left this guy the other day. He's almost 80, 81 years old. He's not understanding the news, so let's not talk news. Let's not talk politics. You don't understand religion or whatever. You know, I just come around you because of the familiarity of it, hoping. I haven't given up hope on you, but you're kind of a hopeless case. You don't want your preacher to be ignorant. You want your teacher, you want your people, I want y'all to understand. And I wouldn't want y'all to feel bad if people, as this church grow, that come in, that know the word of God, that study, if they became teachers and things. You know, we need plenty of teachers. We need teachers, and that's why a lot of churches, they have 5 or 6 nights a week that they have different ministers teaching. But you can't have all those ministers teaching, just teaching anything, in the church going in all directions, and they're not true teachers of God. You don't want unqualified help. You want people in the spirit and of the spirit. There's so many of these that we want to rest. I told my wife twice yesterday, no, I'm not doing it. We would not do this week. But then I said, I just got to go. We got communion and everything. I need to go get the grace, God. But man, if we had 5 or 6 other people to come and do these things. It says, for they say his letters are weighted. This is what they say about Paul. Now Paul was an apostle. And this is what they say about Apollos. They were saying how eloquent and how nicely dressed he is, how he looks and how he delivers his message. Y'all understand that? Paul, this is what they say about Paul, Sister Jackson. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. It says, for they say his letters are weighty and forceful and impressive, but his personal appearance, his presence, the way he looked when you see him, Paul probably was short, probably had bulging eyes and everything. He had an infirmity of the flesh, and that's why one of his letters said, you see how large your letters are, right? Because Luke was his secretary. Luke did most of the writing for Paul. We don't know what infirmity of the flesh Paul had. We don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. A lot of the books and things you read of Paul says he was a short, stocky man. And they say, listen, this is what the word of God says. His speech is unimpressive, contemptible, of no account. In other words, he wasn't a good speaker. He stumbled through his words. He wasn't like a lot of the preachers you see today. But they can't get you into heaven. Paul's preaching got you into heaven because it had the Spirit with it. Right. See, that's why a lot of people, they leave a good wife and go get some woman that looks good, and that woman treat them like a dog. They starve to death. This woman that didn't look as good, she would get up and cook. She would work. She would help him. Or this man that she thought was everything, and look how he dressed and everything. Now she found out that's why nobody else had him, because all his money is on him. He ain't putting on. See, a lot of times we go for a sight. See, that's why those of faith don't walk by sight. See, some of what's best for you, you like Samson. Samson says, you look good, get up on me. They say, Samson, you can't find no woman among our own people? No, she looks good. The lust of the eyes. We always want something. That old truck doing me good, I mean. But it's a lot of people. You know what they're working for? To get that new truck, to get that new car, to get that new lawnmower, that zero turn. They always want something new. They got mama on their mind, whereas they would have a lot more time for themselves and for their family and for to live in a home if they wasn't stretched out financially. They wouldn't be robbing God. They wouldn't be robbing God going out to fancy dinners and paying all their money on car note and house note and on all the bills and things, and you ain't paying full tithes. You say, okay, I got $2,000 here. Let me give God $50. Let me give him $75. Hey, shouldn't you be giving God a tenth of that? It's $200, but if you, like I told you, Brother Dent, well, you throw $220 in there, and then you give a, what, $40, $50 offer? See, because the way you break that offering down, my parents told me, just my mother used to teach me, what you do is when you get paid, you take that offering, and I've noticed that with your sister, that I got to go to work, go to church four Sundays. I got to go to four Bible studies. I got to go to church 8 times this month. That 8 times I'm divided into this offering here. So each time I go, I'm have something to put in the basket. Because you know it's a sin. The Bible teaches you don't go come before the Lord empty. Don't appear before the Lord, don't bring nothing. A lot of people come to church and don't throw nothing in the basket. Or they throw some change in there. You go buy more at Burger King than you put in the church. You give away to your children, grandchildren, wives, friends, and on social events more you put in the church. So what happens is Paul didn't look like a million-dollar preacher. He wasn't driving the Rolls Royce. He didn't have anything fancy. That's why Jesus said he didn't have anywhere to lay his head. But listen to what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in the 17th verse. It says, "For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but he sent and commissioned me to preach the gospel, not with clever and eloquent speech as an orator, so that the cross of Christ would be of none effect." In other words, when people listening at Paul, the power of what he's saying is sinking in, not what fancy words and things he's using, not how developed and cultured he is. Jesus told him that about John the Baptist, saying, "Well, you look with those with fine linen and fine raiment, they are in castles or whatever." But John, he wore a camel's girth. He was girded about with his loins with a camel's raiment. You know what I mean? He had a linen girdle on. He looked like a wild man. He was eating raw honey and bee stuff or whatever. God's people sometimes don't look like it. Jesus said that they said about Jesus, he was uncomely and had a form that no one would desire him. But knowledgeable. That's the third point. Knowledgeable. He said, to be able to teach and lead others requires being teachable. This other man I told you about the other day, he's not teachable because he knew all the scriptures, and every time you tell him something, he wants to tell you something. You understand? And what he was saying, he was taking out of context that didn't make sense. And God said that about his people. They have a zeal for God, but not a calling to knowledge. See, some people know what the scriptures say, but as for applying those scriptures, they can't apply the scriptures. They're not applicable. They don't know how to apply them. Job's friends knew what the word, knew what God was, but they didn't know how to apply it. They were saying things about God that wasn't true in application to Job. It wasn't applicable to Job. Are we preaching a disjointed message? Are we saying things that people look at, and that's why they call a lot of people religious fanatics? Because they don't understand what they're saying? That it doesn't make sense the way they're saying it? Or what they're saying? It is scripture what you say, but they tell you to blow it out your ear because you don't know of what you don't seem like this is spiritually connected. When a preacher spiritually connect with people, it's just like the probably something to say something wrong. He's not connected because what? The spirit was lacking. He didn't have a clean connection. God's spirit touches our spirit, and that's what causes you to say amen. That's why you acknowledge. It gives you strength, something inside, and that's the truth. That's God. And so you grow in the grace and knowledge of God. You have a humble spirit that you listen at people. They didn't tell him in front of a lot of people to humiliate him and embarrass him. They called him to the side and explained it to him more perfectly. He didn't say, I'm some eloquent and some fancy preacher or whatever. He listened to them, though they were mechanics. They were just tent makers. We can learn from a janitor. We can learn from the man that's cleaning up floors. Are you teachable? And it says this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being spiritually impassioned. In other words, he taught the word fervently. And he was speaking accurately that he did know, but they seen something lacking. And that's why I tell you, as 2 Timothy 3:15 tells you, study to show yourselves approved. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. You need skill in doing that. And you have learned skill by exercise of use, by walking in the word, by doing the word. That's how you grow in the word. Acts the 18th chapter and the 26th verse says, and he began to speak boldly and fearlessly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard them, they took him aside. He was speaking boldly. You notice that the apostles, Peter, they said they noticed the boldness with which Peter spoke. When you learn the word of God and know and the spirit energizes you, you're not going to hide this. This is not something did in a corner. You're proud of what you
did.
You're strong in the word of God. The reason a lot of people go along with anybody of any religion, you notice that how many people, but you can go to this person's church. Here's a husband and a wife, both of them in two different churches, and they get along fine. That's a problem there if it's two different churches. How can, that's what most of the preachers on that website that we are in preach. You know the evangelical movement is an evil movement. How can we all get along together if we walk in disagreement? That's stupid when people, oh, you come to my church and I'll go to your church. So you will compromise in that area while you're there, and then you will come over here and compromise in that area. You got to stand up on what you believe and drive that point home, and that's what Apollos did. That's why he said he was arguing and disputing with the Jews. That's why Christ says that mother, sister, brother, that there's going to be a division in your home because you're not going to compromise what you believe in. Once you compromise what you believe in, you're no longer a man of God. You're no longer a woman of God. You are ashamed of what you think you are, say you are. You're a professing Christian. You doing this to get along with your husband or wife. You either accept me for what I believe or you leave. That's the way that is. And that's why Islam is much stronger. That's why the Christians hate Islam, because those people are at least faithful what they believe in. This nation is not faithful to what it believes in. It's hypocritical. It's hypocritical. And that's why a lot of people, they're married because they're married in name only. Their children and things are running on over. They're going to church and those children fornicating and living right in that home or whatever. And you going to church talking about you preaching against fornication and all that. You a hypocrite. You can't even get your own home straightened out. It says a man shouldn't rule the house of God if he can't rule his own house. See, Apollos wasn't this way. Apollos was strong. The apostles were strong. The church is strong. In conclusion, now let's bring this to a conclusion. You have to have the fervency of spirit. This what gives you power is because of this regenerated. You a new man. When you become a new man, your wife, husband, children, The dog down the street could know that you changed. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The walk I used to walk, we don't walk that way no more. And you're not going to approach me that way. I am a son of God, and that's the way you're going to treat me. If you don't treat me that way, that's your problem, and it's not my problem, and I'm not going to allow you to make it my problem. It gives you a new spirit. That's why you become bold and you become stronger. You're going to have greater life. Then God's going to start making your enemies be at peace with you. Because your enemies see you ain't for no stuff. But if people see that they can wear you down, they'll wear you down. But if it's the highway or your way, see, that's how religion has to be. Jesus told his apostles, when the people say, this is a hard saying you say, Jesus didn't say, hey, no, I need to keep a full church. He says, go your way to you. They didn't walk with him no more. And then he asked his apostles, say, y'all want to go too?
Yeah.
And they say, no, you got the truth. Where else are we going? You have to take a stand for God. See, that's why Apollos was changed. He took a stand. Those truths are what makes us free. That's why you'll never be from under the hand of whoever's in power over you, because you don't have the faith to overcome. You're not an overcomer. You're not an overcomer. Some people have a zeal for God, are lacking in knowledge. Just because they have a zeal, that doesn't make anybody you right now. Just because you're able to preach the gospel loud, just because you're able to preach the gospel and know these words, that don't make you right in it. The Spirit is what gives life. He says he's looking for the true worshipers of God. Those that worship him in spirit and in truth. You don't have a spirit with you. You just saying that. It's like our president. You saying that, we don't even believe you believe what you say. You know, a man that's a change and will just do anything and don't know what he's saying, he's tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You agree with this religion, you agree with that religion. Sometimes you just have to be at odds with people. That's your cross to bear. You have to take up your cross and follow after him. Take the suffering of being alone. Take the suffering of being the one that's just walking by yourself, that's walking the straight and narrow path. With the Spirit of God, you become an apologetic. You didn't hear of apologetics. You are a defender of the faith. So you have to have a concordance. You have to have dictionaries. You have to have commentaries. You have to study the Word of God and work in the Word of God. Because you are a defender of the Word of God and you're ready to die for the Word of God. You're no longer afraid of man. And if you're a defender of the faith, in other words, you believe what you believe, and I'm not going to compromise or tolerate what you believe in. I'm walking in what I believe in and what we preach. So if your children don't believe that, y'all don't have to stay here. You don't have to come around. I want you around me. I want you here. But I need to stay where I believe. You need to stay in what you believe in. But if you give up God just to have somebody else around you, you are idolater. You have another God. So I say that's why we're tossed to and fro in every doctrine. We're supposed to be the first fruit. We're supposed to be preparing to be kings and priests. Are you in that preparation period? Are you what? We have to do this down here now. And we can see it. God can see it. He's manifested to the world. There's something to what's going on in the world now. And if you don't realize that today is the day of salvation, in that God wants to make you a new man, you have to come into that realization. You have to pull off the old man. You can have faith, but that next step is generation. But you have faith has works. So I'm not saying that John the Baptist was wrong. I'm just saying add to John the Baptist, build on that, because the church is built up on the prophets, the apostles. John the Baptist was a great prophet. He spoke the word of God. There's no greater than John. So along with that work, you have to have faith. And it's already done. See, you just have to walk therein. In other words, you have to trust and believe in God. You have to
trust and believe in God, that He's making you anew. Each day that you die with Him, He's resurrecting you to new life. That you sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Be transformed and renewed in mind. Stop walking down here with the turkeys. Start soaring with the eagles. He will cause you to mount up with wings. He will cause you to run and not faint. To walk and not be weary. You will have endurance. You will have stamina. You will have the light. God's going to be a light to your feet. You will be a lamp to your feet. Heavenly Father, help us to grow.